right. So this is the Q&A portion of the GAPS and SCD diets. We have a couple of people who have their hands up, so I'm going to start with Laura and then go to Eva. So, Laura, you're open. Hi.
Oh, excuse me. Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. I must have just raised my hand for the volume. I didn't have any questions, but I thought the material was really interesting and very thorough, and it's going to be very helpful with my coaching clients. So thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Thank you. And Eva. Hi, Eva.
Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. Hello, everyone. Great presentation. Thank you so much for clarifying some of the information. I don't have a question, but I just wanted to share something with everyone. We have done the GAPS diet at my home because my daughter, Emma, my younger daughter, has an autoimmune disease called PEMDAS, which is in the autistic spectrum. And she had a lot of issues also with viral infections. She had mono for a long, long time, like 2 years. And she had a very difficult time learning. So neurological issues, behavioral issues. You can see I'm a little bit emotional. But we did the GAPS diet for 2 years with her. And my whole family has to go on a certain diet because I cook everything at home. So we all went through the protocol. Emma responded to it beautifully. So I do have to tell you, we did take out the dairy. She was gluten-free for years and dairy for years. She had issues as a 10-month-old child already. So because I went through divorce, she lived with her father half the time, and she lived with me half the time. So when she was with me, she was on a proper diet, and then she wasn't. So she had a lot of learning disabilities. And now she's in Westlake High School in Austin, which is a, you know, according to the level, it's a pretty high level, and she's getting all A's and B's after doing the GAPS diet. And her markers for her PEMDAS are within norm, and they were off the chart. So the one thing that I do have to express to, you know, to everyone with me, because, you know, according to Natasha McBride, it's a family issue. It's everybody in a family should be treated with this particular diet because it comes from generations. So, yes, it probably helped me a lot with my issue, but I have to say that my lipids got really bad because I think it's a very concentrated with a lot of calories diet when it comes to consumption of the saturated fat. Because you are recommended to use a lot of saturated fat to cook so it doesn't break down the structure of the oil. You should be using only raw oil when you're going to put it into your food. So a lot of it is ghee or fat like lard or the animal fat. So for me, that took my triglycerides to really high levels. Just the FYI, if you're going to work with your clients, you have to, I guess, share with them to watch that because I was really surprised how bad the lipids got. And yes, we did use the cod liver oil and we did use the probiotics and we fermented everything. And, what the beautiful thing was about Emma, it cleaned up her diet totally. She came to live with me full time and I was able to control everything and I still make all of her lunches and everything. She doesn't take anything from just any kind of a place. Everything is made at home. But yes, she was introduced to the coconut kefir and to the fermented foods and, probiotics on top of that. So, she really had a great response to it. Her headaches went away. Her digestive issues went away. Her skin issues went away. And basically, she just started to perform at the optimal level. So, but we didn't use any, like, I didn't use the carrot juice. Like, it's recommended to do a lot of carrot juice. I took that to more of a green juice versus the carrot juice. Because I was afraid of the high sugar content. And yes, she was allowed honey, but I was very limited, maybe 2 teaspoons of honey throughout the day. But she was only 15 years old when we started that.
Yeah.
So she was able to drop almost 20 pounds just to follow that, but I was really focusing on taking out the sugars that she was having throughout the, you know, the diet when she was not with me.
Yeah.
And she's not sensitive to dairy, but I feel like when you have the gluten sensitivity, the cross-reactive molecules are seen by the body as though it is gluten or anything else that in the same structure for the receptors. So we took the dairy out. So it was a lot of vegetables. Like, for example, her breakfast would have some kind of a protein, animal protein, but it was all pasture-raised. It had to be pasture-raised. There was no other option. But she would have at least 2 different vegetables and a fermented vegetable with it. So it was a lot of veggies. I would say probably 75% of the meals were based on vegetables. And then you start increasing the raw vegetables once you see that everything is working correctly. So you switch from the food that actually breaks the cellulose from cooking and roasting vegetables. You can start adding raw vegetables. So you do add the raw vegetables towards the, you know, as you progress with the diet. So I just wanted to give you that little tidbit that what we have done, and it really worked for her.
That's great. And thank you for sharing that. And your dedication is just amazing that you know, preparing every single meal and that you got her to buy in, and she's a teenager and she hasn't rebelled. I mean, it's obvious that it's working for her. She would be rebelling about
it. She was so bad, Dr. Rita Marie, that she was ready. She said, Mom, I do anything to help myself. She had chronic headaches that wouldn't stop. We would work with meds, for example, and one day we would sit down and the next day she wouldn't have a clue what we were working on.
Oh, wow.
She was that frustrated, and anxiety was off the chart, and depression, and just all sorts of things, and very aggressive behavior. She just was ready. So her neurologist actually suggested the SPD and the GAPS, and I looked at both of them, and I said the GAPS would be better for her and for us. So I just went with it and really immersed completely into the steps of it. There was no cheating of any kind, and you really could see the difference.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, I love that you did what we're talking about here is you customized it to her. You took certain things out. You just made sure that all the animal products were pastured. And so you did a lot of that customization. And I think that that's so wise because some of these diets, like I said, because they focus on a particular area, they let go in some of the other areas that would compromise her health. So you just took it to that level. So I applaud you for that.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. It was really a pleasure to watch her change because we have done dairy-free and gluten-free diets for many years. When she was a baby, like I said, I had to chew her food. So she was with no soy, no. Well, she did have grain. That was the one thing that she did have, but it was all gluten-free. And I think that was the big issue that made the difference for her when we took out all the grain and the starches.
Right. And that you're a real example of what I had said earlier, which was that a lot of times when we get a person and we get them to go gluten-free and they're doing all this great stuff, but they're still having issues, that it could be the grain intolerance as well, and that when you go and you actually go that next step, it can take them to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And the monosaccharides was the basic, you know, thing for her because obviously she's lacking the enzymes and, you know, her homocysteine was really low. It was like 4.1, sometimes even below that. She had very high level of plasma folic acid, which meant she didn't have the enzymes to convert the folic acid. So a lot of it is correcting, and, you know, it's really doing great. So
thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. It's just really nice to hear it in real action, you know?
Yeah. Thanks. I was really skeptical because we were not eating that many animal protein and definitely not saturated fats. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I just don't think I can do this.
Yeah.
But I said, you know what, we're going to give it a try. We're gonna have to see if it's going to make a difference. And it really did. So, you know, because we ate a lot of grain and vegetables and things like that to just more on the vegetarian side of it. But it's really, for her, it's what she needed. So that's what I would, like I said, the saturated fats and the amount. So either lower the portion of the food, because when you eat a normal portion, like what we were used to, you know, I'm from Poland, so my mother always made big portions. I felt like there was a lot of calories per meal, and it was just stored in triglycerides.
Yep. And have you gotten yours under control now?
Still working on it. It's elevated, but it's not as bad as what it used to be. So still working on that.
Good to hear. Yeah, and it's just this shows the individuality of each person, and maybe you have a genetic marker that she can get from you that is more like the APOE.
Three, four. I do. I have a 3-3 actually, so it's not as bad, but I
not
still
not as bad,
have
but still, it's you're more sensitive. So all those things, just we just have so many things to take into account before you just like blanketly tell somebody to do a diet. And it's great that you had this, you know, the knowledge and the aptitude to be able to adjust that.
Right. Ginger tea was also recommended between meals, and I believe that stimulated the hydrochloric acid and the digestive. It was one of the things that the guests really is recommending, the ginger tea.
The ginger tea. And the ginger tea between meals, because ginger tends to be a good for the motility, will help with the migrating motor complex.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Great presentation, Dr. Rita Marie.
You're welcome. Thank you. And Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay. So I just realized that someone, Heather, had already asked a question in the live chat that I wanted answered. I have a client with diagnosed ulcerative colitis and also presenting with leaky gut symptoms. And Heather had asked if FCD would be favorable, and Lynn responded yes.
Yeah. It's definitely been used for ulcerative colitis and for Crohn's, for inflammatory bowel disease. Heather makes the point that these people have difficulty with greens, so you'd be going slowly with them, doing broths, doing juices, and slowly adding those in. But, yes, absolutely could be. You know, and again, I think the modified version of it, like Eva was saying, like I was talking about, just making sure that you're not thrown out, you know, putting in things that are really we don't consider healthy overall. I think it can be definitely that's how it was developed for. So
I appreciate the balanced approach that you're taking to that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just think there's so merit in so many of these diets, and I think that the problems come in when people go extreme. So a lot of people will say, well, vegetarian diet doesn't work for me, or I see patients who've been on a vegetarian diet, they're very unhealthy. Well, because most vegetarian diets are focusing on grains. And so if you've got this sensitivity for the carbohydrates, then of course somebody's not going to do well on a vegetarian diet. And then when they go back to eating meat, they feel better because they're cutting out the grains. So it's really just a matter of knowing and understanding the different constituents and the different body types and how people work, then you can actually customize, and you can take the, you know, a little bit from column A and a little bit from column B, and, you know, just customize the diet for what you're, you know, suspecting is going on. And then when a diet doesn't work for a person, you ask the question, okay, what about this diet didn't work for them? And that helps you to hone in on actually designing a diet, not throwing out the whole diet, but helping you to customize it to the person.
Yeah. Well, thank you for reinforcing the one-size-fits-all theory doesn't work.
So it doesn't really work. Right? Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. All right. So I think we've got it. Anybody else have questions before we close? I'm looking at the chat. I'm looking in the Q&A to see if anybody typed there. No, I think we're just sticking with the chat. Okay, cool. Yeah, Heather, you're welcome. Glad you have it. And the replay, you should be able to come back here and listen to the replay. It'll be the first of the two anytime as soon as we end here. So if you miss the beginning or whatever, you can. And then we'll, you know, take it and edit it and, you know, put it on the site once we're done. Oh, and Eva says sprouted nuts only. Yeah, I would agree with that, you know, and fermented better too. So sprouting the nuts, you soak them and rinse them real well, but then you can ferment them. So you can use your probiotics and turn them into yogurts or kefirs or, you know, fermented nut milks. There's so many varieties that is phenomenal for that. Make it easier. The more you make it easy for the body to digest it, the easier it is to get the healing to happen. So, all right. So thank you, everybody. I'm going to stop that recording, and then I'll open up the line. There we go. So everybody can say goodbye to each other. So thank you for being here, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you
a lot. Bye.
Welcome. Bye.